what I call an ungodly shyness. And it's actually a spirit of, I don't know what kind of, right? Something, right? And that needs to be dealt with. And in fact, those of you who know the early ministry, we started Aliu Christian Missions in Penang. And we published 3 magazines that cost us nearly a few months' food supply. And it was the Aliria magazine. And we also published the meditation booklet. If you have ever seen the first publication, the author's name is not inside. And then, in the first 3 magazines, you will notice all the magazines, when they got a nice article, they put there, by a Christian believer, by an unknown Christian, by nobody. We thought that we were giving God all the glory. We thought in our own way. Until God dealt with my life and said, when you go to a bookstore and buy a book, how do you buy it? Say, oh Lord, I look for the man of God, and if I know the man of God, then I go and buy his books. And the Lord said, good. So if you write a book by nobody, how will people buy it? And then the Lord showed me a scripture. I was reading the Bible in my devotion, and I just happened to come across that scripture in the book of Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 3, before the Lord sent him out, in verse 7, the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And then the Lord began to say that he needs to place his honor when he uses a person in order for people to recognize the anointing and the authority, and then it can flow forth. The Lord said, I'm going to magnify you, Joshua. Magnify you. That is Joshua. If you examine the word magnify, the Hebrew word means, some mistranslate it as glory, but it's not. God never shares his glory. It means honor. So what happens when God did that to Joshua? When the people hear Joshua's name, they were afraid. When they hear God's name, of course they were afraid. But when they also hear Joshua's name now become associated with God's name, they also were filled with fear. Not fear of him alone, but fear of the God whom he served. And then God began to show me how sometimes he called himself by the names of his people. He was the God of Abraham. He was the God of Isaac. He was the God of Jacob. He was the God of Elijah. And why do we say all those things? Because when God starts wanting to use you, don't allow our upbringing as Asians in our shyness and what I call it, quote unquote, Thai-sanness, prevent us from serving God. They say, hey, there's an opportunity to serve God here. God wants you to do it. Paisen, paisen, my. Right. But in the heart, in their prayer closet, they say, God, give it to me, oh God. Right. All because we don't differentiate between honor and glory. And I had a difficult time. God really had to deal with my heart because I'm a naturally shy person. And to change that. And so when God dealt with me and showed me the difference between honor and glory, I began to understand what God says when He says, I will honor those who honor me. As you honor the Lord, God honors you. And God makes your name to be respected so that people could draw from what He places upon your life. So that there's a line of flow of authority that flows forth. And that's the honor that comes from God. The thing to make sure is pride is a condition of the heart. It has nothing to do with whether you have honor or no honor. A person can be proud even without their honor. And it's in our heart that we have to examine ourselves before God. And we have to constantly bow before God and humble ourselves before God. The more He honors us, the more we must learn to humble ourselves. Let pride come into our lives so that God can keep honoring us. As God honors us, we glorify Him. As He honors us, we glorify Him. That will be a good relationship. And in that way, God could use you more and more. And believe me, I have to make that point, because there are a lot of Asian ministers and fivefold ministers who don't dare to come up because they don't understand the difference between honor and glory. Let me give an example. If a man of God who is known to you all, let's say if Billy Graham wants to come to town, a lot of churches will come together and support that meeting because they know him by his name. But if I were to say Mr. Sarabat Singh or Sarabat Store wants to come to town, And I try to bring, and if I'm the coordinator, I try to bring 20 churches. The 20 churches says, who is Sarabat? They were asked. On one hand, the church is saying, hey, you know, don't glorify people, don't use their name. But on the other hand, when you actually organize the thing, they say, who is Sarabat? See, I'm just trying to get rid of what I call hypocrisy. Right? Let's face it. When we actually come to organize a campaign, people are drawn to the man, and before the man comes, his name comes. Why do you go to a meeting? Sometimes, let's say, if Rahab Bonke comes to town, and you get a stadium, what do your friends tell you? What do the church say? Hey, Rahab Bonke is coming to town. What happens if the person say, who is Bonke? You will say, oh, this man, that, this book, and this, and this, and that. Because the Lord has honored him. And with that honor, he could draw more people to Christ. And we share about him. And through him, people come. And then through his preaching, people come to know the Lord. See how important honor is. And we must not shy away from it, that when God wants to give it to us. Except we must handle it correctly. And fast and pray and continue to humble ourselves before God. When we actually come to organizing a meeting or doing something, it means a lot who and the name, whether it carries honor or not. And that is why there are a lot of ministers, especially in Asia, that attitude must change. That God may want to use Singaporeans to go forth, and some of you whom God has raised, and you're afraid of using your name, and perhaps your name is Tanakao, right? And you're afraid of Tanakao ministry. And you don't have to use your name, and so you use your pseudonym or something, right? Michael Not So Jackson, right? or something. Use that name for a ministry. And in the end, you are still known because that name in the end associates to you. So, I'm trying to show here that there is something in our Asian mentality that must change so that Asians can rise forth and do what God tells them to do. Whether in the natural or in the spiritual. We should learn from what Western civilization has, take the good, leave the bad, and rise up to do whatever God has for your life. Perhaps it's in the business world, and the Pisces comes. Hey, don't lie, you know. We can't do that. But maybe God wants you to do something. And you need faith to rise forth. And faith understands that you can receive honor from God, but you must reject all glory for man. And just accept it and flow with it and keep and walk with a humble heart. Let's go on. Here in chapter 5, we talk about double honor. About faith bringing honor. When you do a mighty exploit for God, quote unquote, your fame will be spread abroad. And your fame is spread abroad so that God could use your witness to tell others and to teach others more about the gospel. In chapter 6, he concludes with what we call fight, the good fight of faith, and to war a good warfare. In verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now we see here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 to chapter 6, there is a progression of faith. In 1 Timothy, it was faith and a conscience. We need faith and a conscience to lead us into the right things. Why is the conscience important? The conscience works with faith in three areas. Right? It's another teaching, but I'll just give you the points. Faith and the works with the conscience to help you to take the next step in three areas. Because number one, faith tells you, the conscience tells you your level of faith. Your conscience tells you your level of faith. Scripture for that is found in 1 Corinthians, and the situation is regarding the eating of food offered to idols. And it says here in chapter, looking at 1 Corinthians, and we consider chapter 8, and verse 6 and 7, he says, yet for us there is only one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge, for some with consciousness. And the word consciousness is the same Greek word for conscience. With consciousness or conscience of the idol, consciousness of idol, until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So in other words, they don't have the knowledge or the faith to partake it, and so they cannot. And what Paul is saying here, it's alright for them, they cannot and they must not, for they cannot take it with faith. So the conscience is important. The conscience tells us, number one, our level of faith, our true level. For example, it may be God's will for you to have all the silver and gold and all the cattle on a thousand hill. But your faith level may be enough to receive one baby calf and 1 ounce of gold, of all the gold and silver the Lord has in the cattle on a thousand hills. You got faith for one calf and 1 ounce of gold. But there, when you see the scripture and you see all the cattle, your eyes turn gold. You just go after it. And as you try to go after all the cattle, you lost everything. In chasing after them, you lost your trousers, lost your clothing, lost everything. And you caught nothing but some wild seaweed or mountain weeds. What happened? Because your faith level was not there to receive. Another example is, there are many people who claim God for healing, but they are not sure about what the Bible says in regard to medicine. Now the Bible is very clear that the question of medicine has to do with a person's personal conviction. You don't have somebody come and tell you to do this or to do that. Secondly, when those of us who are preachers and pastors, we know we are not qualified to give medical advice. So usually when someone asks, I send them back to the doctor and say, well, you go back and ask the doctor and let him examine you, etc. And we work together with them. But here comes under this criteria. For some people who have been healed,